How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. A lot of news to talk about here today on a Thursday. We will be joined in the second segment of the show by Dave Meltzer, talking some of the latest stories from the newest issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Also today, we'll be taking your phone calls, emails, and text messages. The studio line, 425-488-0525, toll free, 844-411-5411, and text messages to 425-780-7566. All of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Last night was Lucha Underground, NXT, and Ring of Honor. If you have thoughts on any of those shows, you're welcome to call today and give us those thoughts. We have SmackDown here tonight. Roman Reigns, Luke Gallows is the main event. They advertised this about a week ago and then didn't do it. But they did do it here, so that's the main event of tonight's show. We've also got Kevin Owens versus Cesaro, Dana Brooke versus Paige, Sheamus will be taking on Dolph Ziggler, and The New Day and Big Cass versus the Vaudevillains and the Dudleys. Believe it or not, there is a TNA pay-per-view tomorrow. I'll bet you anything you didn't know that, because they've done no advertising whatsoever. But if you want to watch it, they're doing a gauntlet match for a TNA title match down the road. A lot of guys that are no longer with the company, including Bobby Roode, are working the show. EC3 and Eli Drake, Velvet Sky is on the show. I guess that would be her last official appearance in TNA. And the French Stallion, Tom LaRuffa, is on the show. We'll talk about that today, all of the news and more, and we're going to kick it off after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be taking your phone calls, emails, text messages, and more here today. A lot of stuff to talk about. There is a TNA one-night-only pay-per-view tomorrow if you want to check that out. SmackDown is tonight. If you got thoughts on Lucha Underground, NXT, or Ring of Honor, we can talk about that today. John Cena announced he's going to be hosting the ESPYs on July 13th, he will be the host of the show. Between the ESPYs and what is he doing in the morning? It's not Good Morning America. He's co-hosting the Today Show.
Good synergy.
This guy's going to be out of here before too long. He's going to be doing these hosting duties. Why not?
If I was in that business and needed talking heads like that, I think he would be absolutely perfect. And I don't think he'll ever walk away from wrestling, but he certainly got his exit plan. And even when he is wrestling, I can see him dropping to a schedule where he makes appearances when they really need him to make appearances. And the rest of that time is filled in with stuff like this. And he is going to probably be phenomenal at it.
We talked yesterday about the new UFC 199 fight. I just want to mention this very quickly, that it is going to be Michael Bisping finally getting his shot at the middleweight title. He's going to be taking on Luke Rockhold, and Chris Weidman is out. And I don't wish ill on anyone, of course. Hate to see Chris Weidman going down and getting surgery, but the build for Bisping and Rockhold is already unbelievable. If you have an opportunity, go online and find the back and forth that they have been doing over the last couple of days, shouting at each other. I can't even read on the air some of the things that these guys said about each other, but the gist of the story is that Rockhold believes he is going to absolutely wipe the mat with this guy. It is his destiny to be his punching bag. I'll edit that. And meanwhile, Bisping is talking, and one of the cardinal rules is, what happens in the training room stays in the training room. Not for Bisping. He's so excited to talk about how when he and Rockhold trained together, he beat his ass. So here we are, they're going back and forth. These two guys are the best rivals. So Search for it online. There's nothing I can play here on the air because it's all too profane, but it's worth searching out. It's gonna do some business.
Michael Bisping is everyone's favorite rival because no matter what we said yesterday about whether he beat Anderson Silva or not, or how many wins he's had in a row, or whether he truly deserves a championship shot in by the letter of sport, doesn't matter. He sells tickets. People like him. People like to hear him. That's why he is an announcer. And when put in a position where he can get under somebody's skin and or just promote a fight, he's one of the guys that you want. He's on the short list. He immediately went out there. He bombed Chris Weidman for pulling out of the fight, quote, yet again. And then he has been getting into it, like you said, with Rockhold now. So, yeah, as far as the build goes, it's a much more entertaining fight. As far as all of this build goes, will it be a better fight than a Weidman-Rockhold 2? Not necessarily. I wouldn't, you know, put money on that yet, although we don't know. But hopefully it is a fun fight. And regardless, he is doing at least his job, and they're both doing their job, as far as trying to get some eyeballs on it on short notice.
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air studio line. What's going on?
This is Eric in the Go.
Yes, Eric.
I want to share a thought I had with you guys while watching last week's SmackDown. Yes, I realize I'm talking about last week's SmackDown. But, okay, so Kofi Kingston got rolled up by a vaudevillain while the vaudevillain used the ropes. Now, okay, that's all well and good. You guys probably seen that finish a thousand times in your lifetime. But what was bothersome about this particular instance is that I'm watching a lot of playoff basketball right now, and Brian, you probably don't know where I'm going with this, but Mike, you probably do. What happens when a ref makes a bad call or a player gets fouled and the ref doesn't call it? The player runs up to the ref, flailing their arms, yelling, screaming, arguing with the ref, like touching them. I'm like, no, he fouled me here. He fouled me here. I'll give you three guesses what Kofi Kingston did after he was cheated out of his victory.
Nothing.
He sat there, mouth agape, eyes blank stare towards the ramp, hands in his lap, nothing. You're not even going to tell the ref that you got cheated out of your victory? Now I'm going to come hard down on Kofi Kingston for this. It's probably not his fault, it's not his directive to do this, but it just shows how outdated wrestling looks.
Well, you know what the problem is, Eric in the Go? The problem is that it is a new era of wrestling, and it's different. It is now a show, and where I'm going with this is Kofi Kingston is a good guy, and so they don't want him to complain and cry. Even though if he did complain and cry, it might get the fans to get behind him, but I think that they think that if he complains and cries, then, I don't know, he's a complainer and a crier, and they don't want that out of their baby faces. A great example is, I can't remember who it was that I don't know if they got injured on a pay-per-view in storyline or what it was, but they're supposed to come out on Raw the next day, and they're specifically told, don't sell your injury coming down the ramp, because the fans are paying their money and they expect to see your entrance. And so if you come down the ramp and you're selling and you're holding your arm or your leg or you're limping or whatever, and you don't do your Bella hip swivel and that sort of thing, you're not giving the fans their money's worth. Because they're paying to see you swivel your hips when you come down the ramp. I'm not even sure it was one of the belts. I can't remember who it was. But I remember that story, and it was just like, really? That's what we've come to nowadays? The fans are paying for the show, so don't take them out of the show by selling an injury that you suffered in a match. Mike has been struck dumb, and I don't blame him.
What else can you really say outside of how stupid that is? Because you can still, I mean, if you're a heel, you know, just say you're a heel in this scenario and you come down, it's like the Miz. Well, number one, you want to boo them anyway, so you don't care. And if they decide to you know, like a Jericho to fake doing their entrance and to do something else, people are going to boo. And that's the reaction you want anyway. When it comes to the good guy, if this is about building sympathy and we want these people's money after we leave their town and get out of their city with their entrance, we want them to actually pay money for the network or pay money for the pay-per-view, and getting sympathy behind a person that, you know, just got beat up, a good guy who just got beat up, you would figure that would be the way to go. But this is a new era of sports entertainment, I guess, where, like we talked about earlier on this week, there's a lot of little things that get skipped over, that get missed, that seemingly get skipped over and missed, and we look back in the past and we go, that never would have happened before, but it happens so much now, and they get to their ending point in such bizarre ways now. Maybe it's all intentional. Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. But it certainly, from the outside, a lot of times seems really stupid.
I don't even know whose idea it was and when this all changed. I presume it's got to be Vince McMahon, but somebody may have been in his ear. Maybe a Kevin Dunn said, hey, John Cena should never be crying that he lost a title. He's got to be aloof and he's got to be above it or whatever.
No, he jokes. His thing is joke about everything, nothing matters, instead of just being angry. Why can't you just be pissed?
My point is that I've mentioned this a million times, but if you remember the famous 1988 angle where Hulk Hogan got screwed by the evil twin referee, the two Hebners, and Andre the Giant stole the title from him and then he tried to sell it to DiBiase and the whole rigmarole or everything like that. But when Hulk Hogan got screwed by a crooked referee, they went backstage for an interview with Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan did not joke about it. He did not laugh about it. He did not act like he didn't care. Hulk Hogan was crying.
Damn right.
Hulk Hogan was crying because he had been screwed out of the title by the referee.
Now, wait, and we should also note, this wasn't like if old Bob Backlund crying because Don Morocco destroyed his belt. This was Hulk, like, flustered. He just lost a competition. He was, you know, arms flailing. He was upset, but it wasn't like he was in tears. It was like an athlete that just lost something huge.
So whoever it was, it decided that baby faces should not cry when they get screwed out of a title or they should not complain. I don't know where this came from, but it shows an amazing lack of understanding about why people get behind characters. Back in a moment with Dave Meltzer, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is joining us here today. New issue of The Observer is up on the website right now for subscribers, 35,000 words or something. Everything you ever wanted to know about pro wrestling this week is up in the newsletter, and there is a big cover story about how in the next couple of weeks, or months or so, John Cena, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, Neville, Lesnar, Heyman, all these names coming back to the show. We may have the call-ups of Samoa Joe or Finn Balor, who knows. Dave, how would you rank this proposed roster here when it comes to the great rosters in wrestling history?
Well, it doesn't have the depth that the old WCW roster had, but I think that it probably would have more depth than a WWE roster's had in a long, long time. But, you know, the thing is that, like, someone's also going to get hurt. We just don't know who and when. I mean, injuries are a key part of the business. You're never going to have a period where everybody's healthy. It's just weird that they had a bunch of guys go down very, you know, kind of in similar time frames. And because of that, they're all coming back in kind of similar time frames. And you know, like with Cena, Rollins, and Orton, you know, they were three of the top stars in the company.
You know what's funny is we were talking about injuries the other day because Vince McMahon had made a comment about how, well, you know, there aren't more injuries. The news is just getting out better. And first off, I thought that was hilarious because they tried to hide every injury.
Because the news would always get out.
Yeah, but I mean, the point was they try so hard to not tell you when somebody is injured nowadays. It's like top secret when somebody gets hurt.
Well, it depends. It's hit and miss. Sometimes they tell you, and sometimes they try to keep it a secret. It varies. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Now, when you look back at the early part of the 2000s, and we had all of the crazy, I mean, we have ladder matches, Money in the Bank is coming, but I mean, there were crazy stunt show matches in the early 2000s. Guys were on all sorts of things prior to the wellness policy, which led to all sorts of injuries. There is a style today that, I mean, it seems like they try to be safer today. Why?
There's a mentality of trying to be safer from all the neck injuries that happened like 8-10 years ago. Yeah, definitely.
But what is going on right now? Is it just bad luck that we've got all these injuries happening at the same time?
We're always going to have injuries. It's impossible to do pro wrestling unless you really tone it down and not have injuries. Just even if you don't do the crazy stunts that lead to a singular injury, you're still going to have the wear and tear injuries. I mean, if you look back at the wrestlers from, from 40 years ago, so many of them were, really just physically destroyed by the business, and they didn't do close to what the guys do now. So it's just an inevitable part of the business. I kind of compare it to football in the sense of when people go, guys are getting hurt. And it's like, if you're a football fan, you got to accept that or a football player, you got to accept that you're going to get hurt. And if you're a wrestler, you got to accept that you're going to get hurt. It's unavoidable. Can you do things to make it safer? Absolutely. And should you? Absolutely. But there's a balance. I mean, you can't take so much away that they're just doing, chain wrestling, because that's just not going to go over with it.
Yeah, but even that, what's so weird about it is we have two Wyatts that went down, and literally they were just standing there. Luke Harper, I think, was walking, and he went down.
That's unusual. Yeah, Luke Harper was throwing a punch, and the knee just went out.
That's right.
And that's probably something that was about to happen. And with Bray, I mean, Bray was one of those things that was like with Edge. You're just doing a match, nothing special happens, and snap, something happened. And that happens, this. A lot of the times, sometimes the injuries are when you do something really crazy, and sometimes the injuries are when you do, literally nothing. I mean, Vince McMahon and Kevin Nash tore their quads by taking a step. I mean, literally.
Well, there were extenuating circumstances, maybe. Perhaps, but that did happen. That's exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, and in sports, I guess, too, you always hear stories, and you never know if they're true or not, but like the guy that slips on the pizza box or something like that where it's just a free thing and they end up tearing up something or
on a can backstage at UFC.
Yeah, yeah, but, Mike, as you know, I'm sure that there are some that are legit, but I worked in sports, and I know that there were I know of injuries that were made up.
A sleight of hands, yes.
Not to embarrass the talent.
This is true. This is true. That's true. But I mean, just as far as the aspect of sometimes it's just if it's going to happen, like you only have so many ticks in your heart and that sort of thing, where it's just some of these freak injuries are what they are. They're going to happen in freak situations.
Yeah, you're always, like I said, you're always going to have people get hurt. I mean, even with a toned down style, I think that and a lot of the injuries, again, it's from repetitive use, so to speak. In fact, I actually have a story that I haven't run yet, but I've actually had it ready for months. And there's a real correlation between the number of matches you do in a year and your injury rate the next year. I mean, it's a strong correlation. So if you have the guys, and Seth Rollins fits into this perfectly because I think he did as many matches. Daniel Bryan was another one. You look at the guys who worked the most matches, say, in a year, the odds are really strong. Cesaro did that 1 year as well. That you're going to have a major injury the next year. So that's telling me that the wear and tear of doing 200 plus matches a year, that's probably a bad number for your next year, which is probably like pitchers in baseball, right? I mean, the pitchers who pitch the most innings are probably more susceptible to injuries going down the line. I don't know that's true because I'm not a baseball fan, but it would make sense.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why they try to limit kids, because you have these psychopathic coaches in high school where they just, you got a kid playing basically every day and your best player is going to kind of play everywhere and usually pitch. And you have to basically, you have to put these kids on ice because by the time they get to the major leagues, I mean, look how many guys are having Tommy John surgery. They're 22 years old. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just as the baseball analogy, I mean, it's like when I was a kid, the big thing was that, pitchers completed games. And now, you'd have guys with 20 complete games in a season or more. And now, you have, the whole strategy is different. You don't, you rarely do, I say rarely, but, complete games, it's a stat, it's not like it used to be. And the pitch count, which, when I was a kid,
yes,
there was no such thing as the pitch count. I mean, that was a thing that came in later. And it's just like if you throw too many pitches in a game, then it's like it's time to go out. And it's a smart thing because your arm's only got so many pitches left in it. And if you overdo it, you're not going to be ready for your next start. That's just logic. But it took, it took injuries. And like with wrestling, it takes a lot of injuries to kind of wake people up to the idea that, okay, there's things that we probably should change. Everyone learns in time and things do get better.
This is a baseball question, believe it or not. Does anybody know if the injury rate has lowered and now that they've restricted the number of pitches that you can throw during a game?
No.
I don't know. I mean, in a sense, it probably hasn't, because I think that people are more in tune to reporting injuries, because I think in the 60s, you would just not report them and you would just fight your way through it and probably lead to a earlier ending career because of it. Because I could, would hear pitchers that pitched in incredible, incredible pain, where now they would probably be resting. And they dead pitchers, you know, do the 2 days rest and 3 days rest, and now you don't really have guys pitching with 2 and 3 days rest, I think. I mean, again, and I'm the worst person to talk about baseball because I don't follow
it. Actually, I'm the worst, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I was just asking because this goes not just for baseball, but you could even tie it into MMA and pro wrestling. But, I mean, if you know that you only have, I'll just throw out the number 10, it's probably low, but if you know you only have 10 pitches in a game, whereas before, whatever the number is, but before you were going to pitch 100. The whole game, okay, 100, before you were going to pitch an entire game, maybe you would pace yourself better knowing that you had to pitch the whole game as opposed to now where it's like, okay, I got 100, so I'm just going to throw as hard as I can and who knows? I don't know.
There's something to that for sure.
It's like the whole idea of the old helmets that were made of leather and you had less head injuries.
I'll give you an interesting thing when it came to the wrestling, okay? That one of the things was that when they changed the WWE rings, you remember all the stories of the old rings and how hard they were and how everybody hated them and everything, right? And then they changed them to better bump rings, you know, when Vince decided he was going to be a wrestler. Now all of a sudden, you know, things changed, right? But anyway, so when they did that, you know, guys started taking a lot more bumps, and I remember Mick Foley was actually the person who told me that he thought that the making the rings more bump friendly actually was leading to more injuries because it gave people a greater sense that they could do more, and then they did more, and then they, you know, that's, you know, because he told me this when all the neck injury, that when we had all those neck injuries, and he said that, like, you know, it's the new rings that's, because in the old rings we wouldn't dare do any of that stuff to begin with. Now with these new rings you can do it, so everyone's copying, you know, they're all copying Japan. And, you know, and that was the thing. And also, in those days, it was a different kind of training that the Japanese were doing different training than Americans. You know, Americans were doing cosmetic training and Japanese were doing functional training. So, you know, Americans were, you know, not all, but that also led to problems. Although the Japanese ended up having their problems, too, because they got out of hand as well.
You know, he's right about that, but I have been watching every show starting from 95, and I'm in mid-97 now. And you can see, over the last 2 years, they haven't switched the rings yet. But guys are already starting to take bigger bumps in the ring, probably because guys were taking bigger bumps in, like, ECW and WCW.
Well, it's from learning from Japan, really.
Yeah. So I think it was, I mean, to me, if they hadn't switched the rings, I mean, you were still going to have a problem because guys are going to be doing these crazy things and even harder rings.
Maybe it would have been worse.
So there's no...
I mean, I consider the rings a positive, not a negative, but I'm just throwing out that...
Oh, I do too, but I understand what he's saying because it does make sense. When you feel like, oh, I can take a bigger bump because the ring's softer, you end up taking more bumps and it's probably not good for your body. Very quickly here, I don't know if you have the answer. We only got a moment, but... Was it Vince McMahon that decided that babyfaces can no longer cry and be angry when they get screwed?
I don't know the answer to that one, but obviously in the end, every decision's Vince. So ultimately, whether he came up with it, he approved it. And I mean, here's the thing. You don't want the babyfaces to be crybabies because then, you know, people consider them crybabies. The way John Cena does it, it's like, I'm not really a fan of that because then it tells people none of this matters and that weakens the product as a whole. I think that, you know, you've got to, like, if you got screwed, you've got to get mad or else you just, you know, why would a fan care? You know, why would you even book a screw job if it doesn't matter?
All right. Well, Dave, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. We got to head to a break, everybody. We will talk about The Observer, WrestlingObserver.com when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Time to turn the show over to you guys. We got people calling in on the phones. We got a lot of text messages. Let's get going. This person says, after successful back surgery, any word on how long Emma will be out? I have no idea. No idea. All I know is that it was a success. It all depends on how fast she heals, her rehab, etc.
I don't want to jinx anything, but one thing I did want to ask Dave, and maybe in the future I'll be able to, is I'm curious as to, I know we know about Nikki Bella's neck and we know about some of the other injuries that the women have had. I am surprised with the amount that they have them working and the change in women's wrestling over the years, and like the men, how they have them training down in the performance center and everything. You know, these women are in great shape as far as, you know, fat content and all that stuff goes, but they are, there's not a whole lot to them. These are not big women in most cases at all, with a lot of cushioning or anything like that. And in women's sports in general, from the high school level up, we are seeing a ridiculous amount of injuries. You never used to really hear about ligament tears and, you know, knees and things like that, and Tommy John surgery and things like that when he came to women. And you're hearing about it a lot more now with softball and volleyball, basketball, all of these other sports, and even cheerleading too, although that's a little bit of a different thing. But I'm curious to know, the rates in women's wrestling, as it's gone up, of have there been that many injuries? Are we going to see this? Is it a possibility with women? Because it seems to be happening in every other
sport. There's a ton of injuries. Emma's out. Tamina's out.
What is Tamina out with, though?
I forget. It's like her... I can't remember. Somebody had an Achilles tendon or something like that. Just all of these, there's a lot of injuries, and there are going to be more.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I mean, like, the Achilles is one of those freak ones where it's like, but it's, I'm wondering about, like the shoulders when it comes to men, where we can all point and go, Jesus, look at this. You know, I'm curious as to, because I haven't really paid attention to, you know, injury by injury, if it's as much as it comes with the men, percent, you know, just ratio-wise.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on? Studio line.
This is the skank in San Antonio.
Oh, must we?
Yeah, and in my defense of Brian, I very rarely ever call in and plug my show Over the Top Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Most of them are website related, like the WrestleMania meetups and Vegas meetups, so I don't think I should be criticized for that, Mike. That's just very rude and unprofessional of you. But I do have a question, and it's actually not for either one of you. It's for Jim when he calls in later today. And I'd like to ask Jim, what are his thoughts on Allison K's new ring gear? Because I myself am very partial to the spike bra and leather granny bucker shorts.
Cool. Well, you know, if he calls in, Ed, I'll make sure to ask him that compelling question right there. Spiked bras, he says.
And what kind of granny panties were these?
I don't know.
I thought Allison K was more of the, I guess she did have that, more of the peacock look when she came in, though.
Person says, evidently, the great Charles Robinson was absolved of any wrongdoing in the finish of the Charlotte-Natalya match as he was back at his duty refereeing the Del Rio-Kalisto match on Raw this past Monday.
Well, oh, yeah, that's right.
Well done, Charles, he adds. Can you imagine?
That's the kind of influence that the Nate and the little Nate have in that company, where everything brushed under the carpet. This is like a Pete Rozelle administration. Something goes bad, we got to hide it and protect the shield.
Tamina's a knee injury. And you know what, by the way? Nobody even noticed that Charles Robinson was back. That's how little people care about these storylines nowadays. It's just a bunch of stuff that happens. You pay to see the entrances and everybody's catchphrase. You sit through some matches and fall asleep. You pop for the finish, and away we go.
It is so weird.
And they're making money, so cool.
Yeah, well, it's so weird to be in this dividing line where you look at the average audience and they're, you know, obviously, you know, when you're in your 50s, you in theory should have far more money than you do in your teens and everything. But it's like, you know, the people that are still watching probably were built on an era that came far before this and before they did things like this. Yet it's an interesting thing because to see how many people will just walk away and where we're going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Hackman here says, I don't think it's a coincidence how all the WCW guys went injury-free until they adapted the WWE style. Well, they didn't go injury-free, but there certainly were a lot fewer injuries working that old Southern style than there were working the current WWE high bump, 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 bump style. It's just the way things go. To the studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's happening?
Well, essentially, I went to the NXT tapings last April, and after watching last night's episode and all the other ones, it seems that one of the matches that got cut was unfortunately the former Athena, now she's Adrian Reese, versus Asuka, and that's a shame because that was actually a really good match.
Are you sure it was cut or just repositioned onto another show?
I mean, I can't think of what else they would have had on this show. It seems like everything that aired that night has already aired.
Well, maybe they decided to cut it. I don't know.
That's unfortunate. I know Jim would have liked that match.
All I know is that when I get the lineups for the show, it's not always what ends up being on the show. Like when they do a taping, sometimes they do mix things up a little bit. So maybe it'll still air. Maybe it's just gone into the ether forever.
That would be a shame. Hopefully they just postponed it to maybe this next week's NXT episode.
Like how they teased the Nakamura Drifter match for 4 weeks before they finally delivered? And what a payoff it was.
Did they do the same thing with Eva Marie?
And
Asuka, did they tease
they teased that one too.
Well, I can assure you both that this match was much better.
Oh, I'm sure it was, actually.
For the call, man.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call.
Hey, at SBOK underscore, who is in Japan, and we'll kick over to Adam and I when we do the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. Plenty of translations and things like that from over in Japan. But said Nakamura was talking about this as it relates to injuries, saying the structure of WWE's ring may be related to many injuries in WWE, which...
Well, I want to hear a translation because I saw that, and I'm saying this is somebody who's worked in, I can't even tell you how many different rings, mm-hmm. including in a WWE ring, and I don't know what is any different about a WWE ring than any other ring. I have heard many people who have said that the TNA ring sucked because the six-sided ring, the way that it was put together, it was much, much harder than your typical four-sided ring. But I've never really heard anyone say that the WWE ring structure, I don't know what, I mean, it's a square ring. Like, I don't know what about it would make it.
Well, the layers, I mean, I guess there's plenty of small things, but I don't know, overall, does it really make... I don't know.
In fact, when I watch New Japan, their rings look harder than the WWE rings. So
well,
I don't know.
That's, I don't know.
I don't know. Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. Toll-free line.
Hi,
hello.
Brian, hello.
What's up?
I just wanted to, if there were any questions of
the... Yep.
What
Absolutely.
Did he say?
I don't know. If there were any questions and then faded into the ether, is he still on the line? Maybe his cell phone is coming
I heard him typing.
Back.
I don't know what the hell happened there. That was weird. He faded out, but I could still hear his keyboard. Was that Ryan in Cumberland?
Ryan, is that you?
I have a question about the villains, this person says. I presume that means the VOD villains. I really like the tag team. So does my son. Why do you think they can't get over with the fans? Oh, this person has to be trolling me.
Well,
maybe because they're given no credibility ever, and WWE keeps putting Big Cass in with them, and then they want to put him over, and so they don't do anything with the vaudevillains. I guess he got that win over Kofi using the ropes. But other than that, they've been brought in. They were put in a tournament with a bunch of geek teams, which they won. They've been given zero credibility after that. They're not taken seriously at all. The gimmick is just, it's not a main roster gimmick. I mean, it's nothing against the guys. It's just they're swimming upstream, and we now have the self-fulfilling prophecy of it's just the vaudevillains. They're never going to get over, so why bother? And that's where we are today. So
like
don't yell at
Rose
me.
Deal. Yeah,
I tried to defend them, and I was shouted down by the board over trying to defend the vaudevillains, so I give up.
It's not really their fault. I mean, they have a gimmick that works for them, but it's a 500-person in a room type of gimmick, hardcore fan type. It was like Adam Rose. That was even Brodus Clay that drove me nuts when they had him come out. There's the Funkasaurus, and in hindsight, I can kind of understand why they had Big Show coming back. They had reasons where he decided, okay, I'm going to take a left turn here and accept this left turn that they're throwing out there. Because it may be the only way I get noticed. And it was a big flashy thing that it started, but it also, right off the bat, put him in a position of not being able to take him seriously. And at least he was a big guy with a lot of pomp and circumstance to his entrance. Then Adam Rose comes up, and he changes from Leo Kruger to Adam Rose in NXT. Everybody knew Leo Kruger. He comes out as Adam Rose. He killed it. I can't remember what his debut was, you know, the date. He murdered it, and he was great right off the bat, and those people went, whoa. I mean, it was perfect. It was great for him, and they rushed it up too fast. How they thought that was going to play on a big stage, I don't know. And then you have the vaudevillains, because at least there was some audience participation with Adam Rose. Okay, maybe we got some hope here. And then you have the vaudevillains that, I mean, it's a sitcom bit. It's a cutaway gag that they're doing, and they want to apply that to 20,000 seats. I just, and they're not big guys. They look, you know, aesthetically, they don't look like a lot of the other guys on the roster. I just don't. It was a bad move right off the bat, and I don't know how anybody could be surprised by this, but maybe they knew it, but much like the Ascension, you got to give the guys a shot to get up there, and if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. And it right now, unfortunately for them, it's not working.
This person wants to know if this article in the Satira Tribune is true.
Oh, the Satira Review?
No, Tribune? It's not true, obviously. It's satire.
Satira?
Person says, last time a babyface cried when he was screwed, he was booed out of the building. But that was Roman, so make of that what you will.
It was Roman.
That's what he just
said. And nobody has got to cry. Jesus, Christmas. I mean, I know, Brian, you don't want sports.
They're talking about Hulk Hogan cried. It worked out great.
What was I say? Most other people watch sports where it's like, if you're passionate, you're into something. I mean, look at fighters all the time. Win or lose, a lot of times they'll cry afterwards. It's a letting of emotion. Why this can't be done in a manly way or whatever WWE wants it to be, I to phrase it, it's ridiculous. And I know that they don't want their guys looking goofy, but it also brings up a separate issue down in NXT, and I know they do it a little bit, but if you want these guys to be thespians, if you want them to be actors, then give them stage time at more improv places down there and get them more used to interacting with people, dealing with people, and being confident in what they're doing.
Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, this is Josh in Oklahoma City.
Yes, Josh.
I have an interesting one. It's more of a would you rather than anything based on anything that's happened lately.
Okay.
Just a fun little question. Okay, would you rather Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves be on Raw as commentary, but you have to have a Drifter Intercontinental title run? Or a Nakamura world title run, but he wins it and defends it at least once by winning with a schoolboy roll-up.
Oh, dude. First off, this whole deal with Mauro Ranallo and Raw, I don't know how many times I have to tell you guys this. You don't want Mauro Ranallo on Raw. Because Vince is backstage at Raw with Kevin Dunn. If you want Mauro Ranallo turned into Michael Cole, then great, let's get him on Raw.
But no, right that now, won't happen. Mauro just quits.
Right now he's on SmackDown, and Vince and Kevin Dunn aren't at the show, and he does whatever the hell he wants, and he's great. So the last thing that we want is for this guy to be moved to Raw. So it's a very simple answer. I would rather see Nakamura win the title with roll-ups. Cool. That could be his new finish. The roll-up.
He'd make it work, too.
He wouldn't make it work. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Person here says, I'm not trolling. We really like the vaudevillains. I've been a wrestling fan 40 years, and my son just started watching. I think the gimmick is cool, and they seem to be pretty good wrestlers. They are pretty good wrestlers.
Yeah.
I brought up trolling because I attempted to defend the vaudevillains on the show last night, and I was viciously, violently, unfairly attacked by trolls on my own message board for how I tried to help their cause, but nobody wants to hear it.
Well, you probably deserve that for taking away that gift certificate last night.
You know what it is, Mike? It's like everybody cries and complains that we've got a mid-card and an undercard full of geeks and 50-50 booking. And I finally try to defend some 50-50 booking, and I'm told I'm wrong. It's just the vaudevillains. It doesn't matter. So, fine. Cool. Who cares? Just add another two geeks to the mid-card, and then you guys can all complain about them later, and I'll just sit here and say, man, you're right. If only I'd said something about the vaudevillains.
Oh, boy.
The attacks, the vicious attacks that I am victim to. Vaudevillain gimmick is a fail, this person says. Gotch is great. English is a geek. Wow.
Can oh, my imagine? God. This is the best day of my life. I was just followed by Cinnabon.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I'm going to follow them back.
Wow.
Cinnabon. You ever have a Cinnabon, Brian?
Did you post a photo somewhere or something?
Too many carbs or anything like that for you?
I've never in my life eaten Cinnabon. My wife has.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if they're following me here. We're out of time, everybody. Every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Find us on TuneIn Radio, Sports Byline Affiliates, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, etc. And we'll talk to you again next time. Thanks, Mike, all the folks at Byline, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.